Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app. With your help, we can continue to stand up for free speech, for open debate and rational discussion, reaching new audiences and bringing important information free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Visit realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference.
This is The Fourth Estate on RCR Reality Check Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Reality Check Radio, here with Marie with Fourth Estate for this week. And joining me for the Fourth Estate is first time together, but I've spoken to both of you and you're both regulars to Reality Check Radio, Rachel Stewart, Opinion Writer of the Year, Canon Media Awards 2016. Feels like a lifetime ago now, Rachel. And you've also got your Substack writing shotgun and you've been in the bush. How are you, Rachel?
I've been in the bush. I'm good. I'm high up in the Richmond Ranges outside of Nelson, and I've been killing things, which has been very, very relaxing. Right. Killing things in a very quick and clean way.
Yes. Cathartic.
Yes. Well, for eating purposes, you know.
Yes, yes. Have we got a freezer full? Good?
Yeah.
Excellent, yep. Excellent. And of course, Bob McCroskery, founder of Family First, and quite the warrior on X. You've been busy, Bob. You've been busy on X in the last little bit. How are you?
I'm good. You forgot to mention that I killed a cockroach yesterday, so pretty stoked about that.
Bob, so we're going to get on to this shortly. Did you use a bug assault to do it?
No, it was just a foot and mouth.
Yeah.
My foot and the mouth of the cockroach.
Look, there's a lot been going down in media this last week. And of course, we had a week away. So it's been a couple of weeks. And obviously, the big news has been the Trump assassination attempt. And the media's coverage of this has been, it's particularly to begin with, CNN. it was almost a state of disbelief. And Rachel, I know you republished a column of yours that you wrote actually after the January 6th event, and it's amazing actually how prescient that was. So just run us through a little bit more on your thoughts, because you've lived there. I mean, you've got a foot in the American camp. What were some of your thoughts around the attempt and the media reaction immediately thereafter?
Well, everything stopped for me on when I heard the news, and I just looked at everything I could find, and I've been watching the media reaction very carefully, and it's pretty incredible. I mean, I think initially, particularly in New Zealand, but I was more interested in the American side, but particularly in New Zealand, oh yes, it was breaking news and they were reporting it. But boy, very quickly when they found out his ear just got grazed, they just kind of stopped. It was weird. But, you know, had he died, it would have gone on forever, of course. Mm. But he didn't die, and I'm pretty sure that the media were pretty disappointed about that. They certainly looked that way to me. And of course, in the States, it's been fascinating to see some of the headlines that have come out, you know, and now we find out, you know, and every day we're finding things out about the Secret Service, but we're not really getting it from the media. We have to go onto social media to get that. So the narrative is very strong already that the mainstream media are going to downplay it forever. And it's, you know, to me, it's looking very dodgy. I think anyone with a half a brain can see that this is not stacking up at all, and the media's not going to help us with that. So,
no, and I mentioned on Media Matters with Marty a couple of days ago that, well, he actually brought up the fact that if you needed to get any detail about what was going on in any way, shape or form, or interviews from the ground, because let's face it, there were thousands of people there, all with cameras, so, you know, recording the event, you had to go to places like X or elsewhere, because it certainly wasn't being picked up in the mainstream media. What were your reactions to it, Bob? I mean, when you saw what was happening and being reported, did you find that you had to go back to X to see really what was happening?
Well, let me just say, firstly, that if I ever need personal protection, I'm not going to use the Secret Service. I'm going to use Rachel Stewart, because I've seen what she does with pigs, so, and how quickly she takes them out. But Look, I was actually watching live, and so it was fascinating because I saw it happen, and I quickly figured out that it's definitely an attempted shooting at Trump. The question I had was it a bullet or was it a BB gun or someone fooling around, because of the fact that it was an ear injury and that he was still alive. But it was clearly an attempt to take him out in some way. And then I looked at the media coverage and I thought it was just atrocious. I mean, I've got some examples here. CNN first said Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally. Now, of course, this is just a way to make him appear like Biden. And then One News started reporting Donald Trump rushed off stage at US rally, shots reported. Well, they weren't reported. We heard them all. And for anybody that has heard that sound, and I've lived in Los Angeles for a couple of months, and I've heard that sound, and that popping sound is, you identify quickly what it is. Newsweek, they came out with a headline, MAGA responds with outrage. So apparently it was only MAGA that was annoyed at a attempted assassination of a former president. But it didn't get any better. We had MSNBC that said Donald Trump safe after popping sounds heard at rally. I mean, it was kind of like they were celebrating a birthday or something. Washington Post said Trump escorted away after loud noises. CNN finally did fix it and said Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after he falls at rally. Oh, that's that earlier one. Associated Press said shooting at Trump rally is being investigated as assassination attempt. Well, as everyone knows, when a president or former president or any political leader and an attempt is made on their life or shot at, that is an assassination or an assassination attempt. ABC News said Donald Trump escorted off stage by Secret Service during rally after loud noises ring out in the crowd. Somebody had their boombox too loud or something. NBC Secret Service rushes Trump off stage after popping noises heard. And USA Today, loud noises startled the former president. New York Times, I think, probably summed up the media bias. Their headline on the front page of the New York Times on Sunday morning, the day after, was Trump hurt but safe after a shooting. A shooting. So, I mean, it really was quite atrocious, but I think it shows the mentality. The Australian front page had the iconic photo of Trump with his fist waved and the American flag in the background. Trump survives. I don't know if you saw the Herald. They said a defiant moment with that same photo. But they said his fist raised, a gesture he has become known for. But this time it captured the deep divisions in the country, the desperation of the situation. They just can't help themselves. The legacy media have Trump derangement syndrome. We all know that. And they're going to be triggered for the next 4 years based on the polling.
There
What's
was a
fascinating, oh, sorry, Marie, I just want to jump in with what's fascinating is if so the best scoop was that blind BBC reporter who probably got the scoop of the century, because you're talking to real people who have just been through an event. That guy witnessed the guy on the roof. He talks to him. You can see that it's real. You can see the guy's emotional. You can see that it happened. And really, the only truth we're getting now, or BBC probably stumbled over themselves getting that because they really don't like Trump either, but it's talking to the witnesses. It's even talking to the shooter's school friends. Those are real people that you won't see in the mainstream media that won't be interviewed because they won't go there. So I found that scoop with that guy with the red hair, red beard, and the red MAGA cap with the hair coming up, which I find very amusing. That was real. And that's where you're getting the news now. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get the truth, people, in the mainstream media. That's a fact.
And then there was also the ED doctor that was right next to the man who was tragically killed, who attended to him while the shots were still being fired, and when they spoke to him. And I found that incredibly moving. And you haven't seen that anywhere else. And
No,
which
they won't pick up on real They won't pick up on real human events and emotions. It's just a narrative, and there's a playbook, and it sort of goes hand in hand with the globalist playbook, I hate to say it. And that's what we're getting now. And we're getting spoon-fed stuff that we just isn't true.
It stuns me the number of people that are saying that, oh no, this is the Trump team or the Republican team that have pulled this together to try and bolster his support. Now,
Oh,
when
I
you
can't.
see the modelling of the angles, I mean, you are somebody who's a hunter.
Yes,
When
I was
you
just going to
see
say.
them, when you see the modelling of those angles, walk us through those, Rachel, because either this was a hoax that was pulled off with pinpoint accuracy, or
Oh.
he is the luckiest man on earth.
Oh, he's the luckiest man on earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, those bullets out of those AR-15s are coming at 3,500 feet a second. The shot was lined up to his lobe, basically above his eye. Sorry, above his eye. He moved his head at the right moment. You can't stage something like that. You can't stage it. Trump would have been absolutely beside himself if he thought it was happening and would have acted accordingly. You would never do it. You couldn't get away with it. So people who know anything about firearms know this. And of course, there's a lot of snipers, ex-Marine snipers, and Secret Service people on Twitter talk, ex talking. These people know their stuff. You can't fake that. So he was being shot, all right, and he was being shot by. Well, we don't. I mean, what fascinates me is we don't know the gun. We haven't seen the gun. We don't. It's an AR-15. We don't know the bullets. We don't know anything. We don't. They haven't showed us the sort of the accoutrements of the shooter. Normally, in an assassination attempt that I can remember in America, and we've all been through Kennedy and Reagan and a few. You would have that laid out. It's just not. It's just all closed down. It's just that's it. Secret Service have just closed everything down. So yeah, no, you can't stage something like that. It'd be impossible to do.
Yeah, and the other thing, comments that I've heard have been around that iconic photograph, which was captured by several people with him, the blood on his face, Secret Service, fist in the air, flag flying in the background. I mean, that is a shot in a million, and people are saying, well, that's not real, that's been staged, you know. There were dozens of photographers at the bottom of the stage shooting the rally, recording the rally at the time. So any one of those could have captured an image similar to that with a different angle. So it's really grasping. And the other sort of in terms of grasping was when again they announced the name of the shooter. First, the first piece of information that MSN comes out with, registered Republican.
They're not very good at the old research, and the interesting thing is that if the evidence goes in favor of their narrative, they publish it without thinking. But if the evidence goes against their narrative, then they're very slow to publish it, which always tells me a little bit. I mean, there's some imagery starting to come out that the shooter possibly was transgender. I don't know if you saw that, Rachel. There's some photos floating around X suggesting that they identified, but you won't hear that narrative in the media because they don't support it. And that's the problem that I have, is that they really aren't fair about it. I mean, the Disinformation Project says that the conspiracy theories only come from the right, and that is all the false material. In fact, I think I saw Anthony Albanese tweet that the problem with social media is that all these conspiracy theories have come out about the Trump shooting, but of course they never talk about but that's actually where we all got our facts from, because we weren't getting it from the media. I mean, like Rachel, I went to X, like you, Marie, because X has become actually the place where you can sift through a whole lot of information and quickly get to the truth, which you will not get in the mainstream media because it's being filtered. And so, actually, I don't know if you guys are aware, but on X now, if you go hashtag MAGA, when you type in hashtag MAGA on Twitter, it immediately comes up with the image of Trump holding his fist up in defiance after being
Wow.
shot at. It's quite funny, so that's triggering the left as well.
Before we just jump off this and move into the next topic, it was just something I heard this morning that I thought would get your thoughts on, Rachel. And again, it speaks to this whole sort of bias and derangement. I was listening to Richard Arnold, who is the correspondent for the United States based out of LA, and he is on ZB. And they were talking about, obviously, reporting on the Congress at the moment. J.D. Vance has been announced as his running mate. I have a soft spot for J.D. Vance. He's, you know, from Southern Ohio. I lived in Southern Ohio. I know that part of the country very, very well. Yeah. And his book is on the money. You know, the people, family I lived with had me more on Papaw. So I know I'm all over that. So I thought that was really clever on the Republicans' point of view. And Arnold played the clip from Vance's speech, talking about his memoir, who raised him for a portion of time, how she'd passed and they went to clean out the house, she had 12 loaded handguns hidden throughout the house. And he was sort of quite disparaging about that. And then he finishes off with Vance's wife is an Indian immigrant, and yet there were signs of mass deportation now being shaken at the rally. And I was like, really, Richard? You're going to compare his wife, who is a legal immigrant to the United States, against illegal mass immigration, and you completely forget that some of those who are now supporting the Republican cause, there is a huge faction of legal immigrants who have had enough because they went through the process, which is not simple, to immigrate legally, and many obtain citizenship. So, is that just literally Arnold showing his liberal coastal views of the elite and not really understanding the beating heart of real America?
Well, you know, and that's what my column was about back in the one after the January 6th incident at the Capitol Hill. I mean, it's titled Coastal Elites and Rednecks, and that is America. You know, America is those things, and New Zealand's fast becoming like that. Here I am in the middle of nowhere hunting pigs and deer, but the average Aucklander, liberal lefty wokey would say I'm a, you know, rabid lesbian firearm enthusiast, but you know they you know I want to kill everybody. I mean, that's how things spin. Unfortunately, America's got a lot of that. And, you know, New York and San Francisco, I lived in San Francisco for many years. New York and San Francisco and Los Angeles and all those places are so removed from Appalachia, from Wyoming, from Texas, from, you know, we all know that. They are different countries. And New Zealand has got to be very careful we don't follow this same route because we're becoming vastly different countries too, as well. Mm-hmm. Obviously not like America yet, but it's getting closer. So I guess I'm just and the column was just when they were calling them deplorables and Hillary Clinton was calling, you know, this stuff leads to things, and it leads to this. All Americans need to come to grips at some point with some sort of unity, and even the Trump attempted assassination, probably by the state, I'm just going to say it, isn't doing that for them. I don't know what's going to do it, but I suspect civil war is ever closer, and I thought that on January 6th, and I think it's even closer today. They need to come to grips with who they are as a nation.
Yeah, they do, very much so. Yeah. And of course, just on the theme of media behaving badly, here in New Zealand, of course, right, and it's went viral internationally, was the clip, I never saw it 18 months ago, Jenny Makeoff and Maddie McLean, Chris Chang, I can't remember who the fourth person was there, with a bug assault fly gun, which I have to say, great fun at barbecues, but I digress. And they were obviously testing it out, and they had a little Trump, like troll type doll that they were doing it on. And that clip has gone viral. Bob, I mean, was that really an apology from Jenny May at 6:08 in the morning?
Well, they certainly did it early enough that the least amount of people would hear about it. Look, they were forced into it because, like you say, it did go viral. Libs of TikTok actually got hold of it on X, and they are a very popular an account on X. And so there was a lot of international interest about the fact that these broadcasters in New Zealand had decided that it was okay to use Donald Trump as target practice for what looked like a gun. Sure, it was a bug spray, but you know, it was quite clear that it was about target practice. And I'm not, they made out that they had made an apology at the time. I don't think, I'm still looking for evidence that they did, because the BSA in its decision actually said that they didn't think an apology was even necessary. That's a Broadcasting Standards Authority. And TVNZ didn't uphold the complaints because they said that, look, it was just a bit of fun. It was humorous effect. That there wasn't a substantive discussion about Donald Trump, apparently. But the problem was that Maddie McLean, who's no longer a presenter, suggested that viewers get their own Donald Trump doll for target practice, and you know, basically don't shoot it at humans, but you could get a Donald Trump doll. Now, so therefore, was the apology genuine 18 months on, simply because what they had pretended and laughed about had actually happened, so they didn't look too good? And you know, I just wonder whether it was a token gesture. They were under a bit of pressure, but they weren't really sorry about it. And of course, my real question is, what would the BSA have decided if they'd used Jacinda Ardern as the target? I think they would have come to a totally different conclusion. But Trump is fair fodder, and the problem for the media is that they have shown their bias. And like I say, the next 4 years is going to be really interesting, because they're going to be triggered virtually every day by, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be watching his tweets so closely. They're going to be watching JD Vance's as well, because he, you know, he has come out with some interesting statements around some social conservative issues. I've just been doing a bit of research for a McBlog on that. And, you know, tell you what, he has made some great messaging around the whole transgender issue. In fact, he introduced a bill to the Senate to stop the gender affirmation treatment, the chemicalizing and castrating and confusing of young children. He wants a ban on that. He said he's not going to stop calling them groomers until they stop opposing bills that sexualize young people. So, you know, watch JD Vance. He's going to really upset the legacy media as well. So, yeah, watch the space. It's going to be an interesting 4 years. I don't know if the media are going to be, you know, the you were talking about Richard Arnold on News Talk ZB. Yeah, I've been disappointed in him, because I've always found he's been pretty factual and has used audio snippets just to tell the story, report the news. I've noticed now that he's starting to include some adjectives, and when a reporter uses adjectives to try and give a perception, or like you say, give a negative view of JD Vance or of his wife. I mean, MSNBC, they had a story because JD Vance talked about the fact that there was generations in his area of land in Ohio, oh, in Kentucky, and apparently there's six generations in their family plot. And so he was talking about the importance of family generations, and that's where he and his wife want to be buried. And MSNBC said that that was white male supremacy,
Oh,
apparently.
for goodness
I'm
sake.
just you're
Yeah,
right,
so
Bob, about TVNZ. I went looking for that apology too, that they claim they made back at the time, and I couldn't find, I researched everywhere, I couldn't find it. I think that was utter garbage. The other thing I wanted to say about JD Vance and Donald Trump is that we have been trained to hate these people. These people stand, we've been trained by media. I mean, I think we saw something in Trump on that stage on the weekend that showed some real character and some mettle. And you know, you can't fake that stuff. And I'm not gonna, I've never hated the man. I never thought he'd make president, and I was kind of in that frame of mind that this is unbelievable for a while, because I was surrounded by lefties everywhere at the time, and they were outraged, and you know, you pick up on that stuff. But over time, and looking back on his presidency, I see a pretty good man, to be honest. I mean, he might say things like, I want to grab them by the, you know, cat, but I don't care, to be honest. What I care about is politicians who are going to do things, and what I care is about is, and I don't care that JD Vance anti-abortion or anything. I mean, I'm not, probably, I don't know, I, but everyone's entitled to a view, and it's not a heinous view to be anti-abortion or pro-Christian or want to be buried in your family plot. What's wrong with that? You know, what is wrong with basic decent? I tell you what I've learned over the few last few years is that conservatives have just got better manners, mate. They're just nicer people. That's what I'm learning. They're just nicer people when they care about family and they care about those things. And we've got a world where we're told that, you know, it's good to be polyamory and to think you're a sex that you're not, and to have rainbow crossings painted with ratepayers' money everywhere. I mean, the world's gone mad. And I think those basic values have got to come back in fast.
So
And
there's,
so I'm all for that presidency here.
yeah. So I mean, two things. One, I'll be very intrigued in a few hours. Trump's speech will be at the Congress, and
Yes,
you could
yes.
see when he walked into that event a few days ago, there were no double fist pumps. There were no sort of big, you know, sort of pussycat type smiles. There was none of that. That
None of
was a
that.
man that completely felt the gravitas of the previous 48 hours as he walked into that.
Absolutely.
Into that room, and you could feel it. And
You could
I
feel
will
it.
be intrigued to see the tenor of his speech in a few hours, and I will be
And did
certainly
you see his
watching that.
granddaughter talking?
What an
Oh,
eloquent
I
young
thought that
woman
was
she was.
lovely.
And the other speech that really stood out for me, because they again, Richard Arnold and like talking about how dull JD Vance was. I didn't find him dull at all, but
Not at
anyhow,
all.
was the African American woman whose
Yes.
son survived Iraq, only to be stabbed on the streets of Chicago, I think it was. And
No, New York.
was
New
it New
York.
York?
Yeah.
She for me was like, ooh, that was powerful, really
Yeah.
powerful. So
And
there's a
Alvin
this
Bragg.
was a, the
And
attack
Alvin,
on
bringing
Jade.
up Alvin Bragg, you know, who has, again, this is a left thing that we're seeing, and we're seeing it in New Zealand where people, somebody can mass, you know, rape three girls at a party and get home D and an ankle bracelet. It's the same thing. Alvin Bragg let those men off that killed her son after he's fought in the war, comes back, gets killed, lets them off because you don't want to fill up the prisons or something. This is, you know, it's another theme, it's another globalist playbook. And so she raised very good issues. I thought it was very powerful. And I'm
And the
afraid, I believe that prisons are there for a reason and you keep
yeah,
people
and
in there
that's
sometimes.
the second point too is that the Jenny Makeoff and Maddie McLean Trump doll shooting 18 months ago, you know, there was a tacit permission under the Ardern regime that bad behaviour was not only tolerated but celebrated. And I think that there has been a slight societal shift, an unspoken permission now, as you say, Rachel, manners. It actually, no, that's not okay, to be honest. And I
Okay.
think that this reaction to that clip is now sending a message. I hope the BSA actually see that from a societal perspective, that actually a lot of Kiwis went down with that and didn't appreciate it.
Hey,
I'm
just one
just,
other quick comment about
yeah.
JD Vance is just that the media will spend a lot of time telling you that he's a turncoat and that he called Trump a Hitler and a never Trumper. And that is, I did a little bit of research into that, and that is back from footage in 2016. So this is when Trump first came on the scene. Now, JD Vance has actually been tackled about this and said, well, you know, why are you a hypocrite? You know, you're a traitor to your own beliefs. And JD Vance actually explains it very well. He said, yeah, in 2016, I thought he was the enemy, but then we had 4 years of him as a president, and I changed my mind because I saw him in evidence, and maybe because he stopped believing the media narrative. And I thought that is the explanation that you need to say to people, and that we need to hear, that people have the right to change when they actually see the proof of the pudding. And that's exactly what JD Vance says about Trump. And it's actually a lot about what a lot of people who are coming to the side of both Trump and the Republicans now is that they have seen the evidence of what a Biden administration and Harris administration does. And I think that the reason the Republicans are going through the roof and look so good is simply because the Democrats have been so bad that there is no alternative. And so you're getting all these groups that saying they would never have voted for Trump, and now they're saying actually he wasn't actually that bad compared to what we've got. I don't know about you guys, but I've never turned up to an election booth thinking I really want to vote for this person. I have generally said, who's going to do the least damage?
Yeah.
And that's a mentality I've had in the voting booth. And I think America has had that over many decades. You know, so yeah, I think the the biggest support for the Republicans is the bad job that the Democrats are doing.
Yeah.
And I think Trump's our last best, America's last best chance. I really do. And it's a shit sandwich every way you slice it. But actually, Trump's looking pretty good right now. And I think he is the last chance. And I think and I also think he's our Winston Peters. You know, Winston Peters is our Trump in a way. And I see parallels there, because I see a lot more people jumping over to Winston now. Same sort of age group, demographic, some beliefs. He's the only one that will do anything about the transgender stuff. He's the only one doing stuff about a lot of stuff. And I don't agree with him 100%. I'm sure most people don't agree with Trump 100%. But I think Winston's our last best chance here, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that Curia poll, what was it, 7.2%? So, you know, I mean,
yeah, more and more people who voted for Luxon are saying to me, I know what I'm doing next time. So, and it's not Luxon, because, again, we've got the globalist playbook happening right in front of us as we speak.
TV3, of course, have got their new news offering, which is supplied by Stuff. And it was, I have to say, I watched part of a bulletin. It is a little lackluster, a tally screen in the background in a tiny little corner, obviously, which they're going to have to decamp from because I understand that Warner Discovery are going to be vacating that building at some point. And of course, this breaks on a Sunday. Jack Tambley, somehow he goes back into the studio and starts going live with TVNZ. Good on him. Radio, of course, are always there, more instantaneous. That's one of the beautiful things about radio. Poor old TV3, you know, they didn't have anything on this until 6 p.m. Monday. And I mean, by that stage, crikey, the horse had well and truly bolted. How long do you think that this will last for them? Bob, any thoughts on that?
Their ratings are at about the same as what News Hub was, but I suspect that that's a bit of a honeymoon period as people want to check to see what it's like. I mean, I must say, I thought their intro to the news is so corny. I think Family First programs have better visuals and animated graphics than...
You're right, Bob.
It's incredible. I was going to tell my guy about it, but I thought I better not, because he might get headhunted by Stuff to do their graphics. But it's kind of like it's we want to do the news, but we're going to sort of do it at a basic level. And for such a major thing, I mean, what would they have broken into their regular programming for? What would have been a bigger story? I don't think you would have seen one. So it suggests that News Hub has definitely moved away from a political aspect. One thing that I did hear, and I don't know if you guys saw it, but apparently a few people said to me that Miriam Akamo was on TVNZ on some program, I'm not sure what it was, and she had to break into her live coverage to make the announcement, and it was quite clear from her eye roll that she wasn't too pleased about it. Did any of you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
So I must check that out. But
yeah,
maybe they were more annoyed that they had to interrupt their narrative to report this.
It's a pity that actually the assassination didn't happen at 7 p.m. during 7 sharp, because Hilary Barry, could you imagine the eye roll there? Because she certainly has a lot of things that she likes to exercise about on 7 sharp. And you have been following the story with the drag king, Willie McIntosh, for several weeks now, Bob. That piece from 7 sharp, I was stunned, because as I've shared with you, I know Willie McIntosh from before when Willie was Willie, and wow, is all I can say about it. So give our listeners a bit of background around this and what the story, and I think the picture that 7 Sharp are attempting to paint here.
Well, I actually, it's been very good for us, because our videos of my McBlog on it has gone viral, which I entitled Dragging Down 7 Sharp. It's had about 14,000 views on YouTube and also on our social media thousands. But basically, 7 Sharp decided that they weren't happy that drag queens aren't allowed to read LGBT books to children. So they thought they would do a one-sided interview with the drag king, as you say, because it's a woman who dresses as a man. And interestingly, it's very binary, because she says that She wants to be a drag king, and a flamboyant man, and that she identifies as he, him. I mean, that's very binary, and wants to show off masculinity instead of femininity. So, you know, in some ways, she's totally destroying the narrative because the fact that people associate femininity with women and masculinity with men. But, you know, it was all about that it's just fundamentalist Christians who oppose drag queens reading in libraries. So, you know, Rachel, I didn't know you were a fundamentalist Christian, but according to Hilary
Hello.
Barry, you are. And also the fact that, you know, they say, I mean, Jeremy, can't remember his surname,
Wells.
he Wells, yeah, he says, you know, they interviewed Willie McIntosh. He says it with a straight face, but he's more interested in talking about the haters that keep hating, the people who don't like, you know, drag king queens being in front of children. But the real problem with the coverage was the fact that they did this puff piece where there were scones and there was cake and there was a lovely story about all the nice books that they read. They failed in two aspects because what they failed to mention was the persona that this drag king, Smackintosh, has online, which kids would go looking for if they wanted to, if they thought, oh, I really liked Willie Smackintosh, let's Google him. And you will come across some very explicit, sexually provocative material quite easily. But they also highlighted a book during the coverage called Granddad's Pride, which features a granddad who apparently has attended all these pride parades, including a picture of a man wearing leather fetish gear. And it was actually banned in some schools in the UK. But, you know, they don't read out of that book and they don't show the persona of Willie McIntosh that's available online that kids can access. No, they just give this very sugar-coated coverage to try and put down so-called fundamentalist Christians who disagree with the sexualization of children. And yeah, I mean, that was one of the quotes that I really liked from JD Vance, just back to him, the vice president candidate with Trump, is he said, I'll stop calling them groomers when they stop opposing legislation that stops the sexualization of children. I mean, that's the quote of the year, isn't it? And, you know, my question to Hilary Barry and others is why do you want to sexualize children? Why do you want to put these role models? Why do you want to put, you know, pole dancers and prostitutes and porn stars in front of children? That's adult entertainment for good reason. Now, we actually got into a bit of a Twitter spat where we were messaging each other, and she sort of argued that, well, Willie did a G-rated show in front of the kids, and she said, show me the evidence that that harms kids. And I said back to her, look, I'll give you that evidence when you tell the BSA to stop putting age restrictions on certain. The chief censor to put age restrictions on certain shows, and when TVNZ stops telling us that certain shows are age appropriate. See, the problem is we've always understood that certain things are adult appropriate and certain things are suitable for children. And we've always understood that with drag queens and sexualization of children. The sexual revolution is removing those boundaries now, and unfortunately, people like Hilary Barry can't make that connection and see the danger.
Well, you only have to go as far as Shane Curry's Media Insider, which I think this was the one from the 90, yesterday. So it's or today, this morning. I printed it off first thing this morning. This is the very end of the story. Broadcasting apologies. One of those was, according to a new BSA authority decision, Warner Brothers Discovery apologized to a viewer for screening three promos for adult-themed TV shows during an animated children's movie, Scoob, on Good Friday evening. So, you know, there's already precedent there. And the other thing too is that they're not sitting, Willie McIntosh isn't, or whoever they're reading them, they're not reading, it's not Where the Wild Things Are, it's not This is a hungry caterpillar, or we're going on a bear hunt, or all of these books down the back of the chair. It's none of these books. These are all books. There's a reading list that comes out. I think it was from the New York Libraries, which was via one of the lobby groups in the US, that has a whole list of books that they recommend. A good chunk of those books are rooted in gender ideology. So this is grooming of our youngest minds.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, you don't get big crowds to them at all. At the end of the day, it is parental choice, whether we agree with the parents or not. I mean, our we've always seen our role is to educate parents, and I think by showing parents what's really behind this, it's raised awareness, and that's a good thing. But you can't stop some parents wanting to expose their children to this. You know, we disagree, but hey, that's parental choice.
Yeah, it's like you would have seen Rachel Helen Joyce. She did an interview with Peter Boghossian a few months back, and she talked about the parents, how regardless of how much information comes out with CAS and WPATH and legislation that gets passed, there is a subset of parents out there who are donkey deep in this and are not going to roll this stuff back, because they have essentially been at the scene of the crime.
Absolutely. Well, David Tennant springs to mind. He's the classic actor that, you know, who's done his kids. He just, yeah, anyway. I just got to say, Bob, the work you're doing on this drag queen stuff, drag king stuff, and all the transgender stuff is outstanding. And you really get down in the weeds. And I wonder, I know what it was like for me when I discovered the reality of the trans movement. And what drew me in was the fact that you couldn't actually speak about it without people saying, no debate, and you're a bigot and a transphobe. That's what got me fascinated. And then I sort of went head first into it and found out everything else. And I've had sort of 10 years or a long time doing this now. And I know it's really affected me in many ways. I imagine for you, being the good Christian man you are, it must be difficult at times, because I get pretty, I mean, I'm so used to it. I'm inured to it. But you must feel some days like, what is going on in the world? Because I certainly do. It's pretty scary stuff.
Well, when we were preparing we did a little explanation of our work for our conference a couple of weeks ago, which, you know, I mean, there was 700 at that gathering of social conservatives. So there is a really strong movement in New Zealand that people don't see and the media don't want to know about or acknowledge. But I actually found some footage back from 2015 when the media still talked to me, where I was on Breakfast and also on One News talking about the explicit sexual content in the sex education from family planning, and also the start for the whole pushing of the gender ideology in schools was around then, 2015, when they were talking about changing uniforms, sports teams, toilets. So they've been going for about 9 years. We're sort of just catching up. Although, Rachel, you know, I think the good news is that I think there is a tipping point. I think the science is starting to come through. Ideology was the winner. We felt sorry for them. You know, why shouldn't you have the freedom to identify as you wish? Actually, just speaking of that, did you hear that classic quote from Chloe Schwarbrick, the Green MP, when she was talking about Darling Tana?
Yeah,
she said, well, Darling Tana's feelings don't trump facts. And I just said, does that include gender ideology?
I saw that. Yeah, exactly. Well, I know I have days where I feel like you, and we reach it, you know, I've had many days like this, but I hope you're right, and I suspect you are, but it just feels so far away other days, because it's so, you know, they've been sneaking around in the background for so long that and entrenched themselves in all of our institutions and organizations and government everywhere, and then you see that in the Hillary Barrys of the world, you just think it's all lovely, jubbly and beautiful, and don't ever think about the consequences. Really, they haven't got the brain power to do that at this point. I just despair that maybe it's gone too far. It's going to take a lot of unpicking now, but the mental health consequences of this trans thing, you know, it just amazes me. We're the social conservatives. Well, apparently I'm a social conservative now, because I agree with you. But I'm also a lesbian, but I'm a social conservative. It just amazes me that we're vilified for basic decency, for basic not believing that you can change your biology. Biology is fixed. That's it. You're male or female. It fascinates me, this world we're in now. It's fascinating and scary. And I know it does things to my head, and I just wondered, yeah, that's why I raised it. I wondered how it is for a Christian man to feel, to get down in the weeds in this, because it's pretty scary stuff.
But as I said at the Infliction conference that you and I spoke at, that the general public understand what's going on and are on side. Remember, I showed all that polling with, around the toilet use and the gender ideology being taught to kids and the chemicalization and puberty blockers. In fact, all of our polling suggests that about two-thirds of New Zealanders understand that this is a problem. And it should be turned back, and we should get it out of schools. There's about a hardcore, I would say, 15%, I think, that you were saying, Marie, that are right into it, that trumpet it, and they tend to be the cultural elite. They tend to be in the media, the academics. Unfortunately, a lot of them are politicians, but the fact of the matter is that the mainstream New Zealanders understand the problem and don't like it, and the more that we can educate them, the more they push back. And like I say, the good news, which the media never talked about, is the fact that there was a drop in the number of schools that celebrated Pride Week this year. It dropped from 300 schools to 250 schools. And remember, that's out of 2,400 schools. So about 10% of schools registered for Pride Week, despite the fact that the Ministry of Education pushed it and promoted it. So 90% of schools are just saying, get away from us. We want to do reading, writing, arithmetic. That's what parents want. And I think a lot of parents got active on this as well. So, you know, credit to RCR and other and the stuff we're putting out, because what it's doing is it's informing and equipping parents to push back on this. Because like right, you said, Rachel, a lot of it has been sneaky. It's been, you know, they won't tell parents what they do. And my message to parents is, if you ever go to the school and say, can I just see what you're teaching or what you're covering in this area, and they say no, that's a red flag. Get your kids out of it straight away, because what they're hiding is actually the problematic stuff, and they know it.
And I think, you know, what happened to me with the guns and the police is a salient lesson to a lot of, I think that was, that raised, it cost me a lot emotionally and financially. But to have the police come to your door for a joke tweet, which was clearly a joke, and take your guns because you're a threat to trans people 6 weeks after the event, and then I have to fight legally to get my guns back when I've never had a problem with guns in my life. And that was a wake up call for New Zealand. I wouldn't change anything about that either, because I think it woke people up. So if you spoke out, and that was a few years, a couple of years back, and that's just the trans activists just working behind the scenes to take people like us down, you know.
There
So
is
it's a global,
definitely,
again,
I
it's a
think,
globalist playbook.
yeah, I think there is definitely there is this unspoken permission. I'm sort of starting to feel it now that people, everyday people, are doing things like, even if they don't attend events like Inflection Point, they are looking it up. Like they can find it. That thing, this is where I think X has become so vital. And thank you to Elon Musk for allowing a voice to
Can I
be there.
just, on that note, I just want to tell you, this is an interesting little snippet. I've been banned on Twitter on X for a week. When Chantel back for a week, and I come back online tonight, so if you haven't seen anything from me, that's why. Apart from, you know, filling the freezer up. But I got banned. I couldn't believe it. I went, what? I got banned for a week for a tweet about the Chantel Baker situation, where the people had a go at her in Christchurch and jumped on a windscreen, and I tweeted, and then the New Zealand Herald wrote a hit piece on Chantel Baker. And it was horrible. And I often critique media because that's my background. And I just said, this was a terrible hit piece, New Zealand Herald, blah, 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 blah. The sooner New Zealand media dies, the better die, New Zealand media die, I think I said. And I got banned for threatening behaviour for saying die, New Zealand media die. So I've had a week,
Wow.
and I
Maybe you
just.
should have spelt it DYE, or, you know,
Yeah, DYE or whatever.
yeah,
But
or
they,
you could
so
have even
they
gone
think,
DEI.
yeah, they think New
DEI,
Zealand
yeah.
media is a person. Or something. That's the
Yeah.
cultural difference, I think. But I just let it go because I'd had a fish to fry this week. But I just thought, that's incredible. Die, New Zealand media die means I'm threatening somebody now.
Because I, you know, we're, there are, yeah, I do see little subtle shifts. Like for me, one of the things I've been tracking has been Andrea Vance's work following the money, essentially. And, you know, we won't dive into this because we haven't prepped on this, but however, that's a story that should have been picked up quite some time ago, but it's now. And I feel that she's been able to get this. I think she's been sitting on this. She's been able to finally get it past the editors to actually get it out there. And I think, again, 18 months ago, she wouldn't have been able to.
Which story are you referring to?
In regards to the scandal around Manurewa Marae and
Oh,
all the
right.
evidence now sort of, you know, stacking up against both Manurewa Marae, Waipareta Trust, and all tentacles that are JT, ostensibly. So, you know, there's sort of things like that. On to something a little bit more lighthearted, though, because I'm just aware of the time. And I do want to cover this because, again, this came out in this morning's Media Insider from Sean Curry. And he interviewed Colenso ad agency director Tony Williams, and they're gathering and collating the top advertising and ads within New Zealand over the last several decades. And an informal Herald poll last week saw that readers voted the Toyota bugger ad the best ad of all time. And now, 82, living in Australia, Williams recalls with fondness some of the behind-the-scenes stories, the advertisements, which he generally believes could not be made today. And I think he's quite right. They'd never make bugger today. I was working in radio when that came out, and I distinctly remember it because we got sent it ahead of time, from as a press pack from Toyota on a DVD, because, you know, it was back then. And I even think they sent us a VHS cassette as well. And while we were playing it, and we just played it over and over again, and we couldn't believe that was going to be going out as an ad. And they're right. And there's so many ads today. It's like comedy, isn't it? You know, you don't realize the level of temperance until you actually look across the lens of time. I mean, would those Spates ads ever be made, mate, now?
No, probably not. You called him Sean Curry, by the way. Shane will take
Oh,
that from you,
Shane,
gives him
sorry.
his name.
Sorry.
Because sure, you know, Shane likes you to get his name right.
Thank you, Rachel. Sorry, Shane.
Sorry, Shane. I bought a Toyota on the back of that. It was the first Toyota I ever bought, Hilux. God, I got it. It was the first new vehicle I bought. I went and bought this brand new Hilux, and it was on the back of that ad. It really did something to me with the dog and the whole thing. And that was so it worked for me. I went and bought one. It was great, but we don't do ads like that so much now. No.
No.
Yeah, I think it was John Cleese who said that most of his humour wouldn't be allowed. And it's a pity we've lost that sense of humour. I mean, the fact that, you know, Rachel, you had your experience for such a funny tweet, which everybody took tongue in cheek. It's very sad that we've got to that stage. I think even comedians realise that it's just such a troubled area because it's become a fine art of getting offended. And therefore we've lost that sense of humor. And Rachel, in response to your question about, you know, does it get us down? One thing that it was actually said at our conference, one of the international speakers said it, and it's probably been a key thing for our staff, is that we take our job seriously, but we don't take ourselves seriously. And so, you know, amongst our staff, there's a huge amount of banter and having a go at each other, and we can all can give it, and we all can take it. But it's actually that humour that just keeps us rational. And I think there was a lot of that in the Inflection Conference as well. And I think the more we can just ignore the cancellation aspect and just make some fun jokes, that's how you do get through it. And it really upsets the opposition when you're constantly smiling and enjoying life too. So that's always a bonus.
Yes, they come after you for that, but I agree. It's been a lonely ride being a TERF on my own, you know, on my own out there. I'm not a joiner. I'm not part of Speak Up for Women or any of those things, and I'm glad I'm not. And so Inflection Point for me was a real turning point because it was so good to finally meet everybody working on the same side. But you know, it's a pretty lonely road, this one, sometimes. So that was a great event. It was actually quite life changing for me on some level.
Well, I think, as you said, the difference between lefties and conservatives is that conservatives can agree to disagree and can work with others on issues that they do agree with. I remember when we got together the coalition to oppose the legalization of cannabis, which we surprisingly won. despite the media's efforts and the elites. And the first thing I said to the group was, look, we may disagree on a whole lot of other issues. We're not even going to go there. What binds us together and unites us is our one agreement. We don't want to legalize marijuana in New Zealand. And we just kept it at that. And we were able to be polite and work through that and not get upset with each other. The problem for the other side, I think, is that unless you buy into every ideology that they have, then you're not part of the group. And, you know, the classic example to me is how a group of people who believe in biology are labelled TERFs and not considered to be part of that community. I mean, it's just incredible to watch. So they are actually eating themselves.
Well, it's quite simple, Bob. They are part of a cult and the rest of us are not. You're either in the cult and you follow the doctrine, and it is like, it is probably the most fundamental religion of any religion or cult that you have in this country. And you're either in it or you're not. And if you're not in it, well, I think you, I mean, I've never met anybody so deeply and steeply in the ideology, and I'm sure you could attest to this, Rachel. When have you ever met a happy, balanced TRA? They don't exist. They're not happy. They're miserable.
They're miserable. Yeah, you're right. They're just, they're not happy people. It's complete politics of envy, really. I don't know what it is, but it's Marxist bullshit is all I know, and I don't understand it. And I like to think that, I mean, Bob and I would disagree on many issues, I'm sure, if we got in the weeds together, Bob. Maybe, possibly. But I will defend to the death your right to have your views, and you will defend to the death mine too. And that's why I have respect for people like Bob and Christians, actually, because they're a little bit more forgiving than the average lefty.
Well, we will all watch and continue to see how the media play out in terms of what they report in regards to what comes up now with the elections moving forward, because I think there's going to be a lot going on. And we will continue to discuss it and talk about it and have the conversations that no one else is having, because why not? Because we can and we enjoy doing it. So this has been For the State here with Bob McCroskrey from Family First. Thank you, Bob. It's always such a joy to talk to you. And you look like you need a cup of tea and a lie down now, my friend.
I'm going to have a cup of tea and a lie down. And then I'm going to go out and warn pigs that there's a wild woman on the rampage with a gun called Rachel. And if you see it, run.
And of course,
they do.
And of course, Rachel Stewart from Riding Shotgun. Look, it's always an absolute joy. And remember, if you want to hear more from either Rachel or Bob, both have been interviewed many times with us here at RCR, all you need to do is go to the app, pop into the search bar, either Bob or Rachel's name, all their interviews will appear there, and you can listen to their back catalogue with me and Paul and many of us here on Reality Check Radio. Thank you again for another session of the Fourth Estate. It has been a great discussion with you all. I do appreciate it. Have a good weekend, you two.
Thank you.
You too.
See you, Rachel.
Bye, mate.
Well, Bob goes off and gets a cup of tea and a lie down. You've got a little bit of time to go and grab a cup of tea, because Diwa de Boer is going to be here next with the dialogue on RCR, and I will see you again on Wednesday. Take care. Have a great weekend, everyone.
You've been listening to The Fourth Estate right here on RCR, Reality Check Radio. Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you. So connect with us today.